In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, when the scriptures were read this morning, I hope you were listening. A few weeks ago in our Sunday morning education class, Justin Welby, the Archbishop of Canterbury, was teaching on the Bible. He said, you know, sometimes when the scriptures are read in worship, people take a mental snooze break. You know, people check out, they think about other things like their grocery list or where they're going for lunch or what they have to do for the rest of the weekend. To which I thought, no, no way, not at our church. Nobody takes a mental snooze break when the scriptures are read or during the sermon for that matter at Holy Apostles. Well, this morning I do hope that you were listening because it's been a while since we last heard these passages read in worship. This year, the season after Epiphany is longer. It's longer than most years. And of course, it's all based on the date of Easter. And this year, Easter is almost as late, not quite, but almost as late as it possibly can be. It's toward the end of April. We're in year C, and the last time we had a sixth Sunday after Epiphany was back in 2007. It was 12 years ago. And the last time we had a seventh Sunday after Epiphany, which will be next Sunday, was all the way back in the Reagan administration, okay? So we've got to pay attention. We've got to listen up this week and next because we probably won't hear these scriptures read again for a while. Today's gospel passage comes from the Gospel of Luke. It's a portion of a sermon that Jesus delivered. We call it the Sermon on the Plain. And as you listen to it this morning, you may say, I think it sounded kind of like something I've heard Jesus say before. And you're right. This is Luke's version of the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount, of course, is found in Matthew. It's more well-known and in some ways overshadows Luke's version. And it's hard for us not to compare the two. Matthew's version stretches over three chapters, Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. And in Matthew's version, Jesus apparently, clearly had a lot to say, whereas Luke's version is shorter. It's not even one full chapter. We all know Episcopalians don't like long sermons, so it seems like we might like Luke's version just a little bit better. The opening verse that we read today gives us the setting, and we notice something right away, an important difference between Matthew and Luke. Today in Luke's version, we read, He came down with them and stood on a level place. So as Luke tells it, Jesus was not up on a mountain somewhere, but rather he's down with the people. Jesus isn't over anybody, above the people, but speaking down to them. But rather, as he preached, he was at the same level as his listeners. You might say, well, that's kind of a big difference. Was Jesus preaching up on a mountain like in Matthew's version, or was he down on the plain like in Luke's version? Which one was it? Well, both communicate something very different, but something equally important. And it gets at the listener's experience as they heard Jesus' message. It's kind of like the difference between a preacher using a pulpit and a preacher speaking from the floor of the church or from the steps of the chancel. See, the same message can be preached, the same homily or the same sermon can be delivered, but where the preacher stands can affect how the listeners receive it. I was once invited to preach at St. Paul's Episcopal Chapel in New York. It's an historic Episcopal parish located next to Ground Zero at the World Trade Center site. After September the 11th, 2001, St. Paul's became the site of round-the-clock relief ministry to the rescue and recovery workers. They offered daily worship services and food and prayer, and they offered a place for them to rest. For 9 months, they hosted thousands of volunteers and thousands of workers. If you ever have a chance to visit the World Trade Center site, you need to stop by. You need to visit St. Paul's Episcopal Chapel. When I was there in 2006, I don't remember the sermon. Don't remember what I said that day. And honestly, the people of St. Paul's probably don't remember what I said either. But I'll never forget their pulpit. To get to it, you have to climb this long, steep, narrow staircase. And after climbing the steps, you go through a small door, you open the door, and it opens to this big carved wooden spacious pulpit. And when you get up to the top, you're like 10 to 12 feet up in the air, way above the heads of everyone in the congregation. It's the only preaching experience I've ever had quite like that. And from a practical standpoint, you can see where a tall pulpit helps listeners to better hear the message, helps everybody to better see the preacher, and it draws the congregation's eyes upward. So theologically, it says, it reminds folks, we need to look up to hear God. We need to look up to see God. We need to keep our eyes not on the things of this earth, but rather up on the things of God. So where a person preaches can affect the listener's experience. And that was what Matthew and Luke were getting at. The experience of listening to Jesus' sermon. Matthew says it was as if Jesus was preaching from the pulpit that day. Matthew sets the sermon on a mount to emphasize that Jesus received those teachings from God. Whereas Luke was saying it was like Jesus was down with the people. Not above the people, but among the people, connected with his listeners. For Luke, this was how people listened, this is how they heard, this is how they received Jesus' message. Luke says there was a great crowd of people who came from all over. They came from as far away as Tyre and Sidon. They were from Judea and Jerusalem. They came from way up north, coastal towns where the Gentiles lived, from a long way away, and they came from local cities as well. That's like us saying that people came down from Florence and Huntsville and down from Decatur. They came from as far away as Gulf Shores and Mobile. And they came from right here in town in Birmingham. They came because Jesus was healing and he was curing the sick. People in the crowd were trying to touch Jesus, clamoring to get to him, to get to his robe. So the people aren't sitting in nice, orderly rows like we have here in church this morning. And it's not Jesus' inner circle that he's speaking to. It's all the people. Jesus is among the people, with everybody, because in Luke's gospel, Jesus is a Savior for all people. He's a Savior for Jew and Gentiles, a Savior for everybody. Luke places Jesus on a level place among the people, connecting with them. And that helps us understand, that helps us interpret Jesus' message that he delivers in this sermon, especially when it comes to the woes and to the blessings. As we look at these for a few minutes this morning, it's important to note that there's pronouncements of blessings and woes all over the Bible. And elsewhere in the gospel, Jesus will encounter rich people who won't necessarily be woed. Jesus himself will be accused of eating too much and drinking too much and having too good of a time. So it's not like he's pronouncing condemnation on everybody who is rich or full or happy. So what does Jesus mean by woe, and what does he mean by blessed? Well, it's important to say a lot of people in our culture imagine blessed to mean something material. They think of blessed as a material blessing in their life. You know, something God has given you that you can look at, that you can touch, or that you can feel. Well, this is definitely one aspect of what it means to be blessed or God's blessing in our life. That's not the entirety of the word or of the term. The word Jesus uses in this passage doesn't mean a material blessing. Jesus says, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep, for you will laugh." Jesus uses this word blessing for those we don't necessarily think that God is blessing. I mean, on the outside, it doesn't look like those who are poor or those who are mourning or those who are hungry. It doesn't look like that they're blessed. But Jesus reverses that. It says God is right there in that situation, right there with the poor, with the hungry, with those who weep. God is right there in your life and in mine when we go through these things. Jesus' words remind us of the times when we lack something, the times when we need something. Being poor or in mourning or hungry for something in life can be a metaphor for the times that we lack, the times that we need. We find these are times when we listen for God just a little more clearly. We find that these times in our lives are times when we can hear God just a little bit better. Jesus says it doesn't look like it on the outside, but we're actually one step closer to God. Those times when we need, those times when we lack something, times when we depend on God, we get closer to God. And we look to God to fill us and to meet our needs. So a good translation for this word blessed that Jesus uses would be satisfied or unburdened or at peace. See, if we're satisfied or unburdened or at peace, it's not like our life is perfect, that there's not something that could be better or something that needs to be better. But we can be dignified. We can be satisfied. We can feel respected. And that's what Jesus was getting at, that we will be satisfied. We will be unburdened. We will be at peace when we look to God to meet our needs. And the woes, they're a word of warning. He's trying to tell the people to look out, to don't get entrapped, don't get ensnared by something that you think is your security, but is actually a false value. He mentions wealth and being full and well cared for. He mentions laughter, which is to not have a care in the world. And he mentions being spoken well of by everyone. And on the one hand, these are all good things. These are all good ways for us to live. But Jesus says, be careful. Because these things can actually blind us. They can blind us to the work and to the presence of God. See, what if they're illusions? What if wealth and health and certain expressions of joy and popularity, what if there are traps that can keep us from God? Sometimes they can keep us from seeing and hearing and connecting with God in our lives. And that's why Jesus warns us about them. That's what Luke was trying to say, that Jesus talked about those blessings. He talked about these warnings, and as he did, he connected with the people. They paid attention, they listened, and they got it. Listening to God, connecting with us, that's what Jesus wants, and that's what we need. So we might consider, is there anything in our lives that keeps us from listening? Anything that keeps us from hearing Jesus? See, we need to listen to Jesus, not just on Sunday mornings, but the other days of the week. We need to listen for God, not just when the scriptures are read here in church, but listen out there. Listen for God all the time. The amazing thing is those who are poor, those who mourn and weep, those who are hungry, sometimes they're better at listening than we are. Luke would say, Jesus has come down to be with us, to move among us, to heal us, to connect with us. And he gave us these words of blessing and these words of warning to help us. Because Jesus wants us to listen to him. Amen.